at the time you want to get
it's
it.
It's
going to
be the big
want,
release.
Right, like you're that you want to get it at. So, yeah. And I'm just intrigued. How much does this, the seats take up, different space? I'm guessing they don't recline. Or do you have to have your seats recline?
So I prefer, like, if given the choice of...
Because this is also when you take your daughter soon, you're going to realize, like, okay, the wall that's in front of the reclining seats can often be obstructive.
Correct.
Here, like we're at the Buffalo Bills football stadium for the little kids.
Oh, we're back. No, we're past that. We're onto the grass now.
And now but then you've got to get... But they do. Some Malcos do have booster seats.
Yep.
So keep that in mind when you take her. Like, if you need to get a booster seat for her chair.
Do they strap
obviously
in?
Obviously, there's always mom's lap. But
well, as long as they strap in.
Well, yeah. They don't. I don't know. They don't strap, I don't think.
All right. It's time
it's like
for
a
me,
restaurant booster.
It's time for me to hand the show over to Kevin. Writer than Right Trivia. We are playing for a $25 Denstals gift card. The phone number, 901-445-0929. 901-445-0929. Caller number one, you're playing for a Denstals $25 gift card next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, we do it each and every Monday here on Jeffrey Wright & Company. We play Writer Than Right Trivia, which means I hand the reins over to Kevin Cerrito.
Yeah, before we get into the game, I do want to take a moment and salute a man who I got to be on the radio with many, many times. Over the years, a local legend here in Memphis and beyond out there in Zambodia, our fellow spirit Prince Mongo, who did pass away last week. Jeffrey, you were gone a couple weeks ago, and when you were gone from the show, like you're gone. Who knows who I'll book on the show, right? So the week leading up to you leaving, I was like, I got a guest host next week. There's no sports happening. There's no sports happening. I got to do 3 hours of radio. Who should I have on the radio with me? So I reached out to a few folks that didn't get back with me, like, let's see, Q, who was on Survivor, a local guy who was on Survivor 50. He's a realtor in Germantown. Never heard back from him. Reached out to Jeff Jarrett because he's been on Dark Side of the Rings on Vice TV this season, 3 episodes.
He's been on this show.
Jeff's coming back. He's going to come back on the show soon, Jeffrey. Hopefully you'll be here for that. But if you haven't watched those Dark Side of the Rings, those episodes are fantastic. You can watch those on the Vice app. But Double J got back with me, said, yeah, he'll come on soon. He's just been very busy. Reached out to Jonathan Coachman, who came on the show. We got to talk to Coach on the program. But another guy that I reached out to, a spirit, if you will, was my old friend Prince Mongo. So Prince Mongo, you know, ran for mayor, never won, unfortunately. Yeah, Prince Mongo's castle that you can't miss there in Midtown when you're driving over there on Central. And he just such a great character. And so, such a guy who was so nice to me, but for so many years, I would have him on every summer for about an hour. It was hard to control.
Just catch up.
It was hard to control, but it would be the State of the Mongo Address is what we would do on the radio, where Prince Mongo would come in and I'd ask him a variety of questions about stuff going on. And so I was like, you know, maybe it's about time I bring him on 92.9. And so I tried reaching out to Prince Mongo about a little over a week before his passing. And it's hard to get in touch with Prince Mongo. You send him an email, he might respond. I would call him and leave him a message, and then he wouldn't call back, and then I'd call him again the next day. Really, you kind of had to get him if you had the right number at the time to reach him on, get him like to answer at that time,
yeah.
Right? You know, to talk to him. He's one of those guys. Because he's a spirit, but so I was trying to get Prince Mongo here. He was possibly going to be on here, but I didn't get to talk to him. Never heard back from him in that time, and then last week hit with that tough news. And I do want to shout out ABC 24 for doing Mongo right there, because their headline was Prince Mongo dies at 333 years old.
Did the appropriate math.
That is his the age he claimed, and he would be very happy that is how that was reported. So shout out to Prince Mongo. There's nobody like him, you know.
And, true one of one.
And Jeffrey, you haven't had to explain Prince Mongo to your daughter yet. But,
no.
You know, I'm talking to my daughter just a few months ago, right? Because I have the pleasure of knowing Prince Mongo and Jerry the King Lawler, right? And, like, there's two royalty, you know, and then she said, you know, she's a kid of, like, you look at Disney princesses and kings and queens, and Memphis has Prince Mongo and the King Jerry Lawler, and she's asking who's older. Well, how is the prince older than this one? I'm like, well, he's from outer space. He's from Zimbodia. You know, it's a little bit complicated.
Different succession patterns.
Yes. Yeah, different. They're not really in the same royal family, even though they are Memphis royalty. So anyway, I will miss talking with Prince Mongo. He's a very unique guy. And we'll continue, I know, to keep naming things after him. I went to Whole Foods with him once to try the Prince Mango.
Mm.
Prince Mango gelato that they had at the Whole Foods in Memphis. And that also became a beer locally as well. But Prince Mongo, saluting him, he will be missed for sure. But it is time to play some trivia. Today's game is going to be in honor of Prince Mongo, Jeffrey. So I hope you're ready. What does that mean? Well, you'll find out here in a moment. Who's our contestant today?
Let's welcome to the program Chris in East Memphis. Chris, I hope you don't know more about Prince Mongo than I do.
I do not. Okay. I think it'll be a fair fight.
All right. Well, we've got this is Right or the Right Trivia. Your job is to try to get more right than Jeffrey. If so, you will win. We have an awesome prize today coming your way from Denstals. We've got you're going to have the choice of the two categories. Whichever one you don't choose will automatically go to Jeffrey. He can steal from you one time if you miss a question and vice versa as we play out the game, which we call Right or the Right Trivia, and it starts now. All right. It is Right or the Right Trivia. It's today's game dedicated to the late, great Prince Mongo, who passed away at 333 years old. Prince Mongo's favorite number is that number 3. So we're going to play a game of 3 of a kind, Jeffrey. It's 3 of a kind today. So each question will have, be 3 of a kind. So we'll start with breakfast or lunch. Where do you want to go? It is around that time. I eat my lunch at breakfast time every Monday before we come in. Okay. Breakfast or lunch?
I'll go breakfast.
Breakfast. Corn, rice, and wheat are the original varieties of what breakfast cereal originally most commonly used to make snack mixes?
Oh, Chex Mix?
Chex is correct. Corn, rice, and wheat. That's your 3 of a kind. Jeffrey, you get lunch. DiGiorno Pizza, Gerber Baby Food, and Purina Pet Food are some of the hundreds of brands owned by what company that is perhaps best known for chocolate? You have DiGiorno Pizza, Gerber Baby Food, and Purina Pet Food are some of the hundreds of brands owned by what company that is perhaps best known for chocolate. We are giving away chocolate today. It's not Denstals. It's not the answer here. That is the prize.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the wrong one. Hershey's.
Hershey's is incorrect. Do you want to steal?
Man.
You can save it. You can save it.
I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it, but can I still guess even though it won't count?
Yeah, that's how we do it. Mm-hmm. As long as you just say don't. Yeah, just say you're not stealing.
I'm going to guess Nestle.
Yeah, you would have guessed correct. You would have got a point here.
Oh, man.
Got to take your shot. Okay. Nestle, the company behind DiGiorno Pizza, Gerber Baby Food, and Purina Pet Food. All right, do you want music or video games?
I'll go video games.
Brookhaven Rivals and 99 Nights in the Forest are games created for and found on what online platform?
Say that one more time.
Sure, here are your 3 of a kind. The 3 of a kind in honor of Prince Mongo today. So we have Brookhaven Rivals and 99 Nights in the Forest. So 99 Nights in the Forest, that's all together. They are games created for and found on what online platform? Oh, we're going to have to go to a time limit here in a second.
I'm going to go PlayStation Network.
That is not what we're looking for here. Jeffrey, do you want to steal? Do you know this?
Jeffrey, no, I'm not
stealing. There's no idea. George knows.
Is this Steam?
No.
It's not?
No. Roblox.
Oh.
Oh.
That's what the kids like. The kids
the
like.
Guess, if I had to have guessed, I was going to guess Minecraft.
That's simple.
But I didn't know.
I think territory of both of those as like games.
That's
on
what
their
I'm
own.
Saying. I didn't think of it as a play. That's what threw me off. Was
well,
like
you obviously do not play.
Yeah. You're correct.
Music, Jeffrey. We Dem Boys, Black and Yellow, and See You Again are some of the biggest hits of what rapper? We Dem Boys, Black and Yellow, and See You Again. They're some of the biggest hits for what rapper?
Wiz Khalifa.
Wiz Khalifa is correct. I think we're tied up now.
That is 1-1, right, George?
Yes.
That is correct.
America or around the world?
America.
America. Okay, we're playing three of a kind today in honor of Prince Mongo. America. Of course, Mongo not from America or this world. But America, Alaska, California, and for some reason, North Carolina, they have all designated what element as their state mineral?
Gold.
Gold is correct. Around the world for you, Jeffrey. Kiefer Sutherland, Robert Pattinson, and Emily Blunt. They were all born in what major city that is home to over 9.8 million people? Categories around the world. We have Kiefer Sutherland, Robert Pattinson, and Emily Blunt. They were all born in what major city that is home to over 9.8 million people?
London.
London is correct.
Why did I think Kiefer was Canadian?
Oh.
I know Donald's Canadian, but 2-2, correct?
Correct.
And both
maybe
steals are still on the
to Canada, maybe.
Two apiece steals still on the board.
All right, we're going to kids or the house? Kids or house? House or kids?
I'll go kids.
Kids. What lead singer and reality show judge/coach has children named Kingston, Zuma, and Apollo?
I do not know.
Is a do not know. Do you have any reality show judges or coaches you want to guess?
Simon Cowell.
That is incorrect. This person is also a lead singer as well. Jeffrey, do you want to put in your steal at this point? No steals have occurred in this game, correct?
One more time, because it was the...
And this is the last round of regulation. What lead singer and reality show judge/coach has children named Kingston, Zuma, and Apollo? Three of a kind.
I'm going to do what he did. Is it Steven Tyler?
No.
Okay.
Was it Lionel Richie?
No. These are all great guesses. These are all guesses. I mean, you guys are guessing right.
Steven Tyler was on what? Was it AGT? He was on
maybe American Idol.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking the American Idol.
Katy Perry's only got one kid.
It is Gwen Stefani.
Ah.
Gwen Stefani's kids are named Kingston, Zuma, and Apollo. House for you, Jeffrey. Picture, bay, and double hung are all styles of what everyday things? Picture, bay, and double hung are all styles of what everyday things?
Windows.
Windows is correct. I think Jeffrey just took the lead there.
Sure did. 3-2.
3-2. We're going to the finals here. We're going to continue the game of three of a kind. The overall category within the category is animals. Jeffrey's going to write down his wager, then we'll ask for yours. He's got Jeffrey with his yellow legal pad. He has torn off a piece of paper. It's folded. He has written down his number. We've got that. How much do you want to wager?
I'll go all in and go with two.
He's going all in with two. Jeffrey also wagering two. So lots on the line here in the finals. Here we go. A or B? You want question A or B?
I'll go B.
Question.
What was our topic again?
B. It's animals.
Okay, animals. Great.
Three of a kind animals here. He's going with B. Rocky. Do we have both steals?
Yes.
Both steals are still out there.
Both guys wagering two. Both steals.
Correct.
Available. Question B here. Rocky, Slappy, and Sandy are names of animated characters representing what furry creatures? Rocky, Slappy, and Sandy.
Squirrels?
Squirrels is correct. Yes, he got it.
I was hoping I could steal.
Oh. Well.
4-3.
It is 4-3, Jeff.
So it all comes down to this one question.
You get it correct.
Correct.
You win.
And I don't
feel. It doesn't matter if he steals.
Correct. And I don't feel good because I usually know one of the two. And I knew that one.
All right, let's see. Spotted, brown, and striped are three of the four species of what African animal? Spotted, brown, and striped are three of the four species of what African animal? Good Jeffrey. Fall here.
Striped is what's killing me.
Well, there's only four species of this animal. This is three of a kind, though, today in honor of Prince Mongo.
Congrats, Chris. Leopard.
Leopard is incorrect. Chris, do you want to steal? You've won here. Do you want to steal?
Sure. I'll try and guess zebra.
Zebra's incorrect. We're looking for hyena. Hyena is the correct answer, but you won. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. It's my first time winning.
You're right or the right today.
The gimmicks always get me. Congrats, Chris. George, you do have the information correct?
Yes, sir.
Congrats, Chris. Thanks for playing, my man.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Again, that is Righter Than Right Trivia. Kevin, where are we going to be this week?
Yeah, go check out the schedule, Cerrito.net. We play Music Bingo Monday through Friday. Music Bingo is when you don't have to use your brain because we let you use your phone for that. So if you're just a fan of music, come on out, participate. I'm telling you, you'll have a great time at Music Bingo. George tonight is at Huey's and Olive Branch hosting some Music Bingo. We'll be on the rooftop of Aldo's in Midtown as well. But for trivia, we're all over the place. Cerrito.net, we just got back at Leonard's Barbecue in Cordova. So you can play there on Thursdays. And, of course, if you're listening to this, you're more than likely a fan of sports and trivia. You can check out some cool sports-themed places around Memphis where we're at, including Max's Sports Bar on Tuesdays. And we're at Bangers, which is the pickleball spot there in South Haven. We're there on Tuesdays as well. You don't have to be a member to play there. So go check out our website, Cerrito.net, and find out where you can play near you. You'll hear at least one of these questions at every single one of the trivia nights this week. So you'll have a huge advantage for being a loyal listener to 99 FM ESPN.
When you know that your home will sell for 100% of the market value, it makes real estate a lot less stressful. You're guaranteed to sell your home for its full value when you work with my buddy Josh Isall and his team with Keller Williams Realty. He guarantees you that your home will sell for what it's worth. You and Josh will set a deadline, and if he doesn't have an offer for enough money by then, he'll pay you the difference to make sure you don't leave a penny on the table. If it doesn't sell at all, Josh will buy the home himself for what it's worth. Danielle just sold her home in Collierville with Josh, and she says that as a first-time seller, she was quite nervous, but Josh made the entire process easy from start until finish because she knew the entire time that her home would sell on her timeline for the full market value. Josh will make you a guaranteed instant cash offer at the full market value for your home so you can take advantage of the same convenience that other cash offers provide, but you will still walk away with more money in your pocket. You also don't have to be rushed. You have over 4 months to hand over to the keys with Josh. There's no upfront cost. He offers flexible fees and he'll let you out of your contract anytime risk-free. So if you're thinking about selling your home, call the only seller that I would trust, the only agent that I would trust. That's Josh Isall and his team at Keller Williams Realty. 901-461-8147. The website is joshhasthebuyers.com. You can also check out the reviews over on Google because there's over 350 five-star Google reviews. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's get into a couple of the other stories from this weekend about, number one, was this too aggressive of a lunch to have before probably the biggest sporting event you could possibly imagine? The brands are getting involved in Jaden Daniels. We also got Pat McAfee's album release. Lots more to get to. Also, LeBron has got a new venture. We got to talk about that. We'll do all that when we come back right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys, now that we have our AP poll top 25, ESPN releasing some content to make sure we get some engagement. Mark your calendars, gentlemen, September 26th and November the 7th.
Okay. All right.
These are the 2 days that ESPN has signaled out for college football. On September the 26th, number 10, Oklahoma, will travel to number 3, Georgia. Number 2, Oregon, at number 14, USC. Number 5, Texas, at number 20, Tennessee. Number 8, Texas A&M, at number 11, LSU. Number 22, Iowa, goes on the road to number 16, Michigan. At this point, either Oklahoma or Michigan is likely to be higher because they will have played and one will have won. Also included that weekend, we have Illinois at number 1, Ohio State, And number nine, Ole Miss at Florida.
They're pointing this out because it's the most.
These are the highest volume of ranked games.
How many is that?
That would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 7. On each. November 7th.
Because the most you can have is 12, right?
Theoretically, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. if you're just using one poll.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Well, I would use more than one poll, correct. So I'd get up to 13.
There you go. On November the 7th, number 2, Oregon at number 1, Ohio State. Number 3, Georgia at number 9, Ole Miss. Number 7, Miami at number 4, Notre Dame. Number 5, Texas at number 25, Missouri. Number 13, Alabama at number 11, LSU. Number 14, BYU at number 21, Utah, the Holy War. And also on that day, number 18, Penn State at number 17, Washington. Of course, by that point,
who knows?
Correct.
As we said, who will be ranked? Of course, there'll be new games added to the list.
Correct.
Right. But
those are the days that they singled out. All right, here's where I need a ruling.
Yes.
So over this weekend, we had, of course, the FedEx St. Jude Championship, but we also had the U.S. Amateur, the highest, the most prestigious amateur event in amateur golf. Individual event, I should say. It is famous for a 36-hole final match. You play 18 holes in the morning,
mm-hmm.
you break for lunch, and then you play 18 more holes, match play, and that's how we decide the U.S. Amateur Champion. I need a ruling on this, because our final included Jay Lang Jr. and Jack Whaley. Here is what Jay Lang ordered at lunch. A ribeye, medium rare, with white rice and vegetables and fruit. So, to keep in mind, I believe the USGA picks up the tab. So you're able to go to usually a prestigious, it's always at a prestigious golf course, and mm-hmm. usually, you know, with
you order whatever you want.
Great dining options.
You order whatever,
order
you,
whatever
want.
You want. But in the middle of the round, a ribeye with rice and vegetables feels like a little much. It should also be noted, when lunch occurred, Jay Lang had a two-hole lead. He was two up. He ended up losing 4-3. Jack Whaley chose chicken and pasta. Is the ribeye too aggressive? Or is it just the classic?
They both avoided lettuce, which is a good thing, right?
Correct.
Now. I would not have salad at this. You don't want to be.
See, there was another one
out there on the course.
Is there some other issue that's coming under fire?
Yeah, they didn't have any the peppers. I think some peppers.
Yeah,
so like peppers are.
Yeah, chino peppers that are under fire?
I can't remember. I'm just avoiding all peppers right now, too. I don't know. But anyway, lettuce, there's no lettuce. That was smart. But is that, what kind of sport do you stop for lunch? I mean, this is the one. I can't, like, imagine there's a lunch break.
So, before
in the middle of an NBA game. I mean, they have halftime, but, like, they're not going back there eating.
Before the Open Championship qualifier, Sergio Garcia, earlier this year, when he broke for lunch, he went with lasagna. And then he tried to blame the lasagna for giving him GI problems and cost him from being inside the number to outside the number. I think we can agree lasagna would be one of the worst choices, but ribeye to me is probably, as someone who loves steak, I don't think I could order it in between matches or in between rounds. That's aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely should be part of your training. Now, I'm a lasagna guy. And
I do appreciate the idea,
though, what you're saying here.
If somebody's going to pick up the tab, just ordering the ribeye.
I mean,
there is something about that like kind of speaks to me. Like, hey, if somebody's going to pick up the tab.
No, yeah, no, for sure. That's where you got to balance it, though. Like, at some point, it's hard, right? You're getting your free item.
Right. Getting the best value.
You want to get the best of you can possibly get. If they're picking up the tab, you want to order what you can order. So total respect for that.
Yes.
But you got to be thinking ahead a little bit. And yeah, I don't know. They avoided lettuce. He did have the heavier meal. Could you blame that? It definitely is probably a factor. but
certainly did not come out.
I don't know
firing.
I don't know how they train for that moment.
That one is that would be a tough one. Also, in the world of golf, a surprise to no one: LeBron is launching a YouTube golf channel.
Oh yeah.
So we had the 2016 Cavs were in Scotland, but also I got woke on this last week when Rory was in Memphis, and I think he was asked, like, what athlete would you help with your golf swing?
Ah.
He threw LeBron out there, and I'm pretty confident at some point Rory might show up on that YouTube channel.
So LeBron's got – it's a YouTube
correct
golf
YouTube
channel?
Golf.
So, yeah, they're not coming to Southwind anytime soon, I'm guessing. So we can't be
replacing Austin Reeves and a couple of his buddies did a YouTube golf video at TPC Southwind prior to the FedEx.
Okay.
But
I bet LeBron's so happy. He's probably gonna what's Nashville getting that indoor golf facility thing? Did you see this? What is that? It was like a domed looking.
It looked to me like it was like another version of the
LeBron's excited about
the
that, sure.
TGL, but like on a smaller.
And they have other ones from what I read, but no, that's interesting. So LeBron's post career going to be golf heavy? Because he seems to be
City Golf. Is that the name of it?
Is it? I don't know.
City Golf announced plans to open what it calls the nation's first full 18-hole indoor golf course in Nashville.
The first one? Okay, I felt like they had another. Maybe they have smaller ones.
The planned venue is designed to let golfers play a full round year-round in an indoor setting, combining simulator technology with real putting and short game features.
Would you take the weekend trip during the winter?
I'm not in on simulator golf. Like, if I want simulator golf, I'm just going to my friends over.
Is that birdies. Mostly? Is that mostly simulator?
So I'm assuming. Have
it's
you
gotta
seen?
Be.
Have you seen TGL?
It's gotta be.
So I'm assuming what it is you hit, you play your full shots into the simulator,
yeah.
And then it will send you to a green, and then you chip and putt. Like there will be green complexes throughout the facility, and you chip and putt.
Yeah,
I'm guessing that's that is. I think the larger question that I have is, does YouTube golf just have this lasting staying power that I will never recognize? Because as somebody who likes golf, I've never gotten into the YouTube golf craze.
Well,
but it seems like everybody that has any ounce of like celebrity status is trying to do it.
I don't know. That doesn't mean it's got lasting power because people are of wealth are interested. And they could be investing in the wrong way. It will be interesting to see what LeBron does. You know, his post-career, he's obviously a golf guy.
He's becoming a golf guy. Now, the other thing that's interesting, LeBron, for all the Bronny jokes, Bronny has an outstanding golf swing.
Okay.
Like, I've seen some clips of Bronny. Like, he has a tremendous golf swing. So I don't know if maybe we can get the Bronny beats LeBron videos, but I imagine that wouldn't be allowed. All right, here is the other thing that I was thinking about over the weekend. So, obviously, Jaden Daniels made the headlines by sending the cease and desist order to LSU about the number 5.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be disputes about whether or not he requested to have his copy of the Heisman Trophy returned. LSU says he did. Jaden, his camp, are saying he didn't. This is one of those ones where it's like, I don't know why LSU would lie on that, so I do know why he would lie. But I was thinking about this over the weekend as it was free reign to dunk online on Jaden Daniels. Should we celebrate when the brands get involved? Like, every official Twitter account making clearly an engagement joke, should we celebrate them? And I guess the question becomes is how good was the joke? But yeah. The one that...
Which one did you like?
I did kind of like the StubHub one that George and DeMichael showed me. But the one that I started going, huh. George, what was the Mets won 4-1 on Friday. And the Mets said, out of respect for Jaden Daniels, they stopped the scoring at 4. I think the threshold for me, though, is when you are one of the biggest disappointments of the year,
right,
you getting involved in the pylon feels completely unnecessary. It's like thumbs down. Am I wrong on that? Because that was kind of my take, was like, if the Mets are getting involved, that almost just feels like it kind of felt like the guy that always gets made fun of, the group chose to make fun of someone else and then that person piled on. But it's like, really what we should just be doing is getting back to making fun of the Mets.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, thumbs down, like, you can't do that.
In general, just whenever there's a...
We frame Jaden Daniels as not reading the room.
Yeah.
The Mets, like, triple down on not reading the room.
And I'm also, I want to be clear, I'm not saying that this means Jaden should be immune or impervious to getting dunked on. The problem is, it used to be like, the sign that this is officially over was when the brands would get involved. It felt like the brands were involved on this one entirely too soon. So, like, we didn't even really get the full weekend to get to fire off the jokes. It's like the brands were involved so quickly that I'm like, all right, well, I guess this is officially done. But is this something that's going to keep on going? Because I don't know how long it continues to be funny.
I think we're already past it. Like, it's officially reached not funny anymore.
What do you think?
When the brand, I don't think you should do it. Like, when it becomes a pile-on situation, that is definitely not smart for business. I mean, a lot of them, like, in sports, I don't know why you would. What is it? The old, you know, Republican buy sneakers theory from Michael Jordan. It's like, I wouldn't really be ticking off a certain fan base in a lot of ways. No, I just saw breaking news about more ownership switches up in the NBA. It's the Lakers. The Buss family is officially completely out of the Lakers. They're going to sell their remaining 17.8% to former Memphis Grizzlies owner Josh Kushner and Bob Iger.
So they're going to own 100%?
Shams reporting right now. So
I think there's one other minority owner, maybe two.
But they decided to sell its remaining 17.8%. So the Buss family will be completely
I think that means there's 5% remaining.
Is that it?
Because I believe they bought out Walter's 78%. And if we're saying that's another 95%, yeah, I mean, somewhere around 5% is outstanding.
Were they still the controlling owners?
No. She got to stay. Part of the deal that she made with Mark Walter was
she was the official governor.
She had a 5-year deal. She was going to get to remain part of basketball operations. The deal that she'd cut with Walter, and the reason why she chose to sell to Walter rather than, because it's entirely possible she could have sold for more money, but she sold to Walter because he was going to let her
remain the governor, quote,
for 5 years and have a say in basketball matters.
That'll be done. If she sells this, she's not allowed to do it. I think you have to have, they,
well, they said,
have a certain,
they said they were going to try to work out a deal.
Well, after this,
I wonder if that means no can do.
Oh, maybe so. Interesting. Well, that Lakers news, I'm personally very intrigued by Bob Iger owning and of course, the guy who used to be a very small minority owner of the Memphis Grizzlies. I want to know who the owners of the Lakers are. So that's why I was happy that Iger got it. Like, I need to know. Oh, who the owners are, right?
And with the
Buss family, I didn't know these guys who bought them from them very well.
I don't
Bob
know
Iger.
I don't know if we're gonna know, because that was my
what
joke.
Do you mean?
Bob Iger got an executive producer credit. Bob Iger doesn't have the money to own a $12 billion franchise. Like, even if you use, like, okay,
he's got,
like, he's okay, more, we can say the got, internet, like,
I know that's a billions of dollars.
No,
he's not,
it's like
just
$650 million.
He's just a CEO. He didn't
correct.
Sell something.
He had stock up. Like, he has more money than I will ever understand.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't have that kind of money. I think the other problem with the Kushner-Iger thing is, it's seems likely they have investors.
Mm-hmm. Which?
To what degree?
And, well, I mean, that and that we'll have to know more, right?
I mean, if you're putting on your old conspiracy hat here.
You can't sell an NBA team without that documentation.
My suspicion is. I think they only have to cut 33% of the check. Now, I'm not up to date on all my all my NBA ownership rules. We're allowing other investors, I believe, up to 10%. I think we're starting to get to the point where the only financial entities that can own these are not people anymore. They're investment funds.
Sure.
So I almost feel like maybe we have public faces, but I'm not sure we really know like who owns. Like, this feels a lot like the mega corporation that's got, you know, the largest owner owns like 7% of the company. That feels like where we're heading. And that becomes very fascinating to me because we have these sports franchises that are clearly worth way more. And even in the professional sports market, the only way that we figured out to increase value is TV deals.
Right, which that bubble could burst in some.
I mean, maybe it doesn't. Maybe like that's the other aspect. Like we were talking about before the show, how it is fascinating that it feels like now in America the biggest stars are athletes. And I think maybe you could make the argument that's because the single remaining monoculture that is consumed by most is sports. Everything else has gotten so fragmented and so niche that the one thing that everyone's consuming is sports.
Right.
Or at least at the highest level. All right. This is the other thing I wanted to discuss.
Let's discuss.
So I've kind of viewed Pat McAfee commentary very similar to the WNBA in the sense that I don't really feel it's 1,000% necessary for every time something happens, I have to weigh in on it. Can someone explain to me why Pat McAfee made an album?
I have no idea.
George, do you have...
I tried to figure it out.
George reviews one album per week.
One album a day.
One album a day. Have you added the Pat McAfee album to your library of you've got to review it?
Absolutely.
I don't know if I want to put him on that.
Not 0.0% chance. The last people I trust to talk to me about music are guys like Dan Orlovsky and, you know, his coworkers. They all say it's great. Everyone else says it's absolutely god awful.
Okay, so the ESPN crew that is obviously having their profile raised by being on McAfee's show.
Yep.
They're all in favor?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I've not heard a single other good review of it.
I don't know. It's been a hell of a week for Pat McAfee over the past 7 days, little over it. The country album, you know, his dive into not really getting into politics, but you know, rubbing elbows with politics or politicians on ESPN, greeting them at airplanes. He's definitely testing the limits of what he can do, which a lot of celebrities do, whether it is through politics or through, can I transition over to a different media that I'm doing? Can I want to be a music star? You know, so many celebrities get famous and then they're doing one thing and then they want to do something else.
So I've wondered this, and George, you could probably weigh in on it. So it used to be,
I thought it was a joke when it was coming out, honestly, because I follow him on Twitter and I just felt like he was just trolling people.
Well, it used to be studio time was so expensive that even if you wanted to do the joke album, or maybe you had the insane person that thought they could make a great album, the barrier of entry was so expensive that we kind of weeded that out. So you didn't really have to deal with it that much. But now, really over the last, like, it started really happening when I was in high school and college. That is when every single Apple every MacBook had GarageBand.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so when you had the advent of GarageBand and simple USB equipment,
yep,
you had a lot of people that all of a sudden, it was not the same as making it at a high-class studio, but it sounded good enough.
Right.
And it didn't require very much money at all. It required a couple of mics.
You could use an electronic drum. You could sample a whole lot from the internet.
I mean, listen, you didn't even have to use the drum machine. Even if you had the guy that played drums, if you had an electric drum set, you could link it in.
You could just put it in MIDI.
Correct. So all of a sudden we went from like albums costing millions to, even if you bought every new piece of equipment, like $1,500, you could go and make an album that sounded decently well. Well, now McAfee's got more money than God, and God knows how much recording equipment. But like,
and he's also meeting a lot of people that also
right, that are probably God. I would love to see the producer credits on this.
I think Jelly Roll might be to blame for this actually happening. If there's something to blame, I mean, but
and like that's the other thing is like I'm not blaming anyone that finds an audience. My whole thing is like, why did he feel compelled to do this? Because he does seem to be answering a question that nobody was asking.
But it happens. It happens to famous people. They want famous athletes want to get into. I mean, Shaq made an album, right? Like, we can't forget about
this. And a movie.
He's made a movie. The getting into acting still makes a little bit more sense than like music. There's a level of and then the acting is a talent. Don't get me wrong. But like, there's a level of you can't fake the music thing. So. Like to be, you can't fake that one. Acting is all faking. That's what you're doing. You're pretending to be something else. But I don't know. You know, there's rumors that The Rock wants to do a country album that came out. So I thought this was all connected, but apparently it wasn't. This was something that Pat McAfee has had in the works.
Is this like a response album? Is this like To My Haters?
Look,
I mean, just based on the title and the way that it's kind of been presented, I would assume so.
Wouldn't you think? Why is Pat McAfee not being brought into a NFL booth? I know he's doing these special simulcasts, but like, I feel like the boots are getting shaken up, right? Big money is being put out there for these for different former players. Pat McAfee did an amazing job with professional wrestling on color commentating in a sport that he barely. He was trained and he needed to wrestle some matches, but like, it wasn't his sport. Like, why is he not in the booth for any games?
The only answer I have for you is that even though clearly he is being endorsed by the NFL,
mm-hmm.
like whether it's implicit or not, I think the argument is that most NFL commentary booths are still pretty milquetoasty. And he has done...
buttoned up. He won't wear a jacket.
But on top of that, he did college games before... like. He was with ESPN and then left ESPN, right. And now he's back.
I'm wondering if it's because
he didn't enjoy it.
Maybe it's the travel. Maybe it's the travel. Like that's always the thing that amazes me every fall watching Kirk Herbstreit be like he's somewhere in the morning and then he's gonna fly somewhere else. And
right, but
like,
Kirk doesn't. In fairness, Kirk doesn't have a $25 million radio show.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not saying you should do that. I'm saying like that's
yeah,
that's
like,
a. That's a rarity to have somebody who wants to do that. Yeah, I mean, he has to work that one day a year.
My guess is it's more his decision than it is someone else's.
You think he's been approached by it?
All right. Should we just hit it now? All right, let's hit the music now. All right, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we have to go to the Seattle Seahawks. Gentlemen... here is what Mike McDonald, head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, had to say after news broke that the Seahawks would be signing Terrion Arnold, I believe to a league minimum. We feel really strongly about our locker room and our team, and we had a great visit with Terrion. Obviously, we knew him throughout the pre-draft process. I referenced the folks that have been in his corner throughout the whole process as well, and we respect those people. We're not going to ignore those folks that we really respect and have strong opinions. When you put all those together, we felt like it was a really good opportunity for the team. The overwhelmingly positive reviews that they got led to their signing of Terrion Arnold. To be clear, like, his agents? Like,
maybe a former teammate or former coach?
This is a larger thing. It's like, I don't actually care that Mike McDonald's having to give the talking points. We as a collective, like, society, you don't have to print everything. Like some, like when someone's just, like telling the story, it's like, okay.
I mean, yeah.
It certainly doesn't have to be treated as a news story.
But we are in that era.
Oh, I mean, that's
where, I mean, it's not just the tell your story era, but it's like people get to tell their story and it will get printed.
It's
it will
the
get
cottage
printed,
industry.
It will be,
and it's the cottage industry of
it will
engagement.
Be picked up.
Yep.
So you might as well tell it because somebody's going to print it.
Oh, my thanks to CJ Hurt for joining the program. Congratulations to Chris in East Memphis for winning Rider Than Right. Trivia for George, for Kevin. This is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.